Hey y'all.
Good morning once again. Children, young ladies, you can head down the hall with Dean there. The rest of us, 2 Corinthians. First chapter, y'all. Has anybody been on the Appalachian Trail, like hiking on it? Several of you? For more than a day? One of you? Has anybody completed the whole thing? From start to finish? All right, not many. I didn't think so. I would be surprised. Not because I don't think y'all can do it, but because most people don't that try it. However, the Appalachian Trail is the longest continuous walking trail in the world, last time I checked, right? And I used to think, not too many years ago, that I might could get in shape to try it. Why is my wife laughing? Why is my wife laughing at that? I did. I used to think I could probably swing something like that. It's over 2,170 miles going through 14 states, beginning in Georgia, if you start down there, ending in Maine before it enters into Canada and ends up at the Atlantic Ocean is the details. Somewhere in that ballpark. I've been on the trail. Like, literally stepped on the trail and then went back to my car. That's what happened. Not because I was trying to walk it, but we were at the rest area up there where Tennessee and North Carolina come together way up on the mountain. And I was like, oh look, there's the trail right there. I said, walked over and got on it, and I went back to my car and went on. We were just passing through, and we stopped there for a minute to look around. And, you know, each year is the statistics say each year about 2,000. Enthusiastic hikers set out to walk this entire trail. Very few make it to the end. In fact, half of the walkers don't even make it a third of the way. We're talking about healthy people, like professional hikers, some of them. Some of them are in shape to hike, and they still don't make it a third of the way. 1 in 10 of them drop out within the first week. I'm one of those. So some people have traveled halfway around the world and spend a lot of money to get prepared for this, and they only last about 3 days. What's going on here? It's because the idea of walking across the mountains, the entirety of the Appalachian Mountains, it seems nice in your mind. The picture that's painted is beautiful and wonderful. It's like the world thinks that people think that the world is an amusement ride that God set up for us to enjoy. And we can go enjoy it and go home and nothing bad will happen. What they're not realizing is it's not just beautiful sights on the mountaintops, but it's steep hills and rocks and trees and weather and wind and rain and sickness and snakes and bears and on and on and on. And within a short amount of time of starting the hike, reality smacks them in the face. And most aren't ready for it. And that's just the way it is. But you know, this trail, the Appalachian Trail, there's a buzzword that's been going on for several years now. And people like to talk about platforms. What platform are you using? What platform are you on? And what platform? And it's basically saying you're going to build a business on a platform, or you're going to live your life on this platform. It's like, where are you going to stand to be heard or to be seen? Where are you going to put your business so it'll be heard and be seen by the world? How are you going to get your message to the world? The Appalachian Trail is one of many platforms that these extreme hiking people, crazy people, use Because if you can complete that, it is definitely an accomplishment, is it not? And it is a challenge. And it is, I would imagine the feeling of success would be overwhelming if you could complete the whole trip in one go at it. And there's plenty of other ways that people challenge themselves. But this Appalachian Trail, just because it's local here and it's something that's pretty amazing if you think about it, is definitely a challenge, but it's a challenge worth taking on if you can succeed. And even if you get a third of the way, okay, good job for you, right? If you make it past the first week, good job for you. It's not a failure, it was bigger than you thought it was. We have some neighbors. They have four kids. They're gonna tackle that trail like this next summer or sometime soon. Every day that whole family's out walking all the time in the streets, warming up, getting themselves ready. That's their plan. I hope they succeed. I'm talking about children, like teenagers and just younger than that. And they're young people and they're gonna do it. And I hope they get it done. I hope they can overcome the challenges. Why am I talking about this? Because life in general is a challenge, is a journey. The Christian life specifically, it's not all angels in heaven all the time, is it? It's not all blessings and songs, as we talked about earlier this morning. It's not all like that, is it? In fact, we were taught by our Savior himself, if we study our Bible, we were taught that it's not going to get easier for you when you get saved. In fact, it's going to be more challenging because you're saved. Because I'm living in you. Because you're mine. And it's going to be hard because people see me in you. Right? And it's a journey. It's a lifelong journey of ups and downs and everywhere in betweens. There's snakes, there's bears, there's ticks, there's wind, there's rain, there's sunburns and cold nights in the Christian life. Am I wrong? It's okay to say amen with those kind of things. Because y'all been there. I know y'all have been there. I can see it's on our faces. We wear it, the life that we live. We wear the good times, we wear the blessings, we wear the amazing love that God has shown to us in all parts of our life, we wear that. But we also wear the scars of trouble. We wear the scars of hurt and pain and suffering and depression. We wear the scars of sin in our life and the consequences that come with it. We wear the scars of the near-death experience that we've all been through, if you're saved. If you're not saved, then you're still dead. And there's no near-death experience until you accept the blood of Christ. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Then you get to be spared from death. Then you get to be saved from that death, that ultimate and everlasting death. So we wear it. You know, I don't know why, but I talk about age a lot. You know, and whether you're old or getting old or not quite there or still young or whatever you think, your face doesn't look like it did a couple years ago. My face don't look like it did in my pictures from 1973 and 74. I can guarantee it. There's some lines there. The shape has changed from age and a little bit of barbecue. Why am I talking about this? Because your life is your platform for making disciples for who you are. For going into the world and making disciples, it's your platform. If I were to put a chair, much like the one that's on the screen up there, right here on the stage, and each one of you had an opportunity that you couldn't escape, to sit in this chair and put into words your life and your relationship with God, would you be able to do it? And what words would you use? What would it sound like? Would it be, what kind of testimony would it be? And I'm just going to ask you to be honest with yourself about that. Because I'm not going to ask you a question like that without first asking myself, for sure. And I know for a fact that there are days when I could sit in that chair and every word out of my mouth would praise God and give Him all the glory and on and on and on. And there's other days when I probably would struggle to figure out what words to use. And then there's other days when everything that came out of my mouth would have nothing to do with anything other than what I'm struggling with and what self needs and what self is going through and what's hard on self and all of that. It's all a battle, isn't it, this journey? When we moved here, I think I've told you all this once before. We moved here almost 6.5 years ago. And like I said, I had it in my mind that we were going to just hike the mountain some. Us somewhat flatlanders thought we was going to hike the mountains. I went over here, right over here by the parkway, and there's a trail right there by Bent Creek. And we started walking on that trail, and it was nice because I was like, man, this ain't bad at all. It's nice and shaded in the woods. There's no sun. I'm not really sweating that much. And then suddenly we started going uphill. Like, not even uphill. It was like up the mountain, y'all. And I got like halfway up this, not even the tallest mountain in this area. I got not even halfway. And the fronts of my legs started burning to the ground, y'all. I could hardly pick my feet up. They were hurting. I was like, we better go back to the car. I don't think I'm going to make it. And here's the problem, y'all. I turned around and went back down that mountain. And now my legs started hurting on the back. I was like, I'm not going to make it back down the mountain. It was so bad. It was so bad. But the Christian life, y'all, it's like that, y'all. There's days when we're just like, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think this is going to work. How is this going to end? What's going on? And when it gets real bad, we're like, where is the Lord in all of this? You see. But we're people of faith, right? Those of us who are believers, those of us who are surrendered to the Lord, surrendered to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the ones who we've accepted what He did on the cross so that we could be forgiven and we can be His. So we belong to God now. Because we're people of faith. And people of faith continue to grow spiritually, not only grow in our knowledge of the Word of God and our knowledge of God, not only grow in our singing, not only grow in our prayer time, but we grow in our faith. And the harder it gets, the stronger we get spiritually. The stronger our faith is. Because the next time I have to climb up that mountain, I'm going to say, I've been here before. And I'm planning on my legs hurting like that. And I'm planning on knowing that I'm not going to die, because I didn't die the last time. But I'm also planning on knowing it's going to be just as bad as it was before. Until my legs get stronger. Until my faith gets stronger spiritually. I want to look in 2 Corinthians today, and I'm going to read just a little bit of chapter 1. Corinthians, man, them people had some issues, y'all. I mean, don't get all sitting back saying, yeah, man, they needed a lot of help. No, we are the Corinthians, y'all. Every church in America has been the Corinthians at one time or another. Why? Because the church was filled with people, and people struggle. And this church, in this particular time, the attack was that the religious leaders and some of the false teachers were trying to convince them that Paul's teaching was bad and it was false and he's nobody to listen to. So he's now got to respond to that and say, no, listen to me. Here's how you know what I know and what I say is accurate and can be trusted. Look at verse 1 in chapter 1. Before we get it up on the screen, we're going to focus on 8, 9, 10, and 11. But here it is in first verse of chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't that kind of language make you want to be a Christian? I mean, it sounds so good. It's like, oh man, these people really love each other. I want to talk to people like that. And I want people to talk to me like that. Okay, let's carry on. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I'm in, y'all. I'm in right there. I'm in. I need that. I'm in. Verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Oh, it's getting deep, some deep truth right here, y'all. Verse 5 says, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, not just a little bit, abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. You see where he's going here? You see what's happening? Why are we needing all this comfort if we're in Christ? If we're Christians and everything's cake and ice creams and halos in heaven, right? Why do we need so much comfort? Why do we need to be able to comfort other people? Verse 6 says, but if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. See, this is Paul talking to some believers who are struggling with the truth. And they're being attacked. Everything about their life is becoming a situation of suffering. Their platform suddenly isn't so glamorous. What? I get to be saved? I get to go to heaven? I don't have to die and go to hell? I'm in. And most people don't last. Most people don't last because they either don't read the fine print or one of us don't ever tell them, okay, it's not all there is to it, y'all. Every time somebody gets saved, they go on a prayer list. Because you know Satan's coming after him and the world's coming after him. You know it. And here he is. He's like, look, we all need comfort and we're going to get it from each other because we all get it from Christ. We get it from our Savior. What comfort is he talking about? Not comfort to saying, oh, everything's going to be okay. Well, maybe everything's not going to be okay. The comfort he's talking about is the comfort of knowing that our Savior knows and has been there and done that. Our Savior has suffered way more than we'll ever suffer. Our Savior is right here the whole time in the middle of this suffering, this hardship, this high mountain climb that we're in the middle of in our lives. And then he says in verse 17, verse 7, our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are shares of our sufferings, you also are shares of our comfort. You see, it's not Oak Grove Christian Church and so-and-so Christian Church and so-and-so other church and so all around the world. No, it's we, the body of Christ. We have the same God. We have the same Savior. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same kingdom. You know, and if we haven't seen that recently, we got blinders on, right? Because when nature tried to destroy our home, the body of Christ showed up and are still showing up. They're still here. They keep coming. Why? Because we need comfort. We need help. We need some workers. We need some prayers. We need to know that we're not by ourselves. God made sure that we knew that he knew. And here we are still moving on, still going on. We're still rebuilding. We're back up and we're moving again. As God's people, we can't be defeated. Hello? All right. I'll let you chew on that one for a minute. Here it is. Here it is in verse 8. Let's read this. But we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, he says, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had a sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. That's some powerful truth right there, y'all. Not just for Paul, not just for the Corinthians, but for all of us. Because here's Paul, traveling around his known world, preaching the gospel because God called him to do so, because he got saved by the blood of Christ, just like you and I have. And his whole life has changed. Before he became a Christian, what was he doing? The same thing is being done to him now. He's running around killing people and harming people because they believe that Jesus is the Christ. However, outside of that, he was well known in the community. He had a position in society. He probably had a little bit of wealth that came with that. He was comfortable. And he gave it up because he met Jesus. He gave it up because there's something more important. It's a different platform for him than what he once had. And now he's got the ear of the people, and they're not liking what he has to say. They're not liking what he has to say, not because they don't like him, but they don't like the truth, because it interferes with their platform. Because it disrupts their platform. It rubs them the wrong way. And life becomes hard. And this isn't only about persecution, however it is for Paul, but it isn't only about persecution. It was for the Corinthians for the most part, but it wasn't only about persecution. The truth isn't always only about that particular thing. It's about suffering. I've taught this and I've talked about it and I share it with other people. I talk to other preachers about it. The goal in life is to die well. And what I mean is to die in a way that brings glory to God. However which way you die, whenever you leave this world, if Jesus comes back, let it be so that it glorifies God, however that happens. If I get old one day, far off into the future, and just lay down and die because I'm old, let me do it without complaining and whining about it. Let me do it in praising God for the great life that I had, praising God for his faithfulness. If I don't get to be old and I sometime in the near future leave this world, let me do it in the same way. You see, sometimes we don't take that conversation far enough and we don't say, how do we not only die well, but how do we live well until we die? How do we live well? Well, living well is part of living well is figuring out and learning how to suffer well. Right? Because we all love to tell the story. We all love to preach the gospel. We all love to tell people about Jesus, especially when we know they might get saved. Especially when they come to you and say, tell me about Jesus. I need to be saved. I'm convicted. Wouldn't that be nice? That happened every day. We'd never stop talking about Jesus, would we? It's easy to stand on the platform with Jesus when there's no problems, when life is well, when there's no suffering, when there's no heartaches, when there's no conviction of sin, when there's no persecution in your life. Everybody would do it if it was easy, right? We know because Jesus taught us, Paul teaches us, and it's through our own life experiences, we know that the Christian journey is not easy and will not be easy. And here's an example. Paul's saying, look, we've been suffering greatly. Right? He says, we don't want you to be unaware of our affliction. We don't want you to be unaware that we're over here suffering. He's in Macedonia when he's writing this letter to them. And he's like, look, we know y'all are suffering. We know that you're being challenged. We know that your minds are being coerced. We know that your hearts are falling because of all of this. We're suffering too over here because we believe this. It's part of who we are. It's part of what goes on. He says, we were burdened excessively, he says. Not just a little bit, but excessively. Beyond our strength. You ever been there? Something in your life happening and it's just way more than you can handle, way bigger than you. You can't even get your mind wrapped around it, let alone your heart, to figure out what to do to solve the problem. Anybody who's lived life have been there. And he's saying we were burdened excessively because of the gospel, because we're believers, beyond our strength. He's like, look, we despaired even of life. Think about what that means. Despair is a hard word, isn't it? It's a serious word, despair. Despair, when the word despaired is used, it's usually meaning something that has to do with losing hope or in the process of. That's a dangerous and challenging place to be, isn't it? And I'm not kidding around. When I came up that mountain and down the mountain on that trail, you might be able to use the word despair right then. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. We have to call the rescue to come get me out of here. But you know how life is. It's way more serious than that, isn't it? How do you go on without the loved ones that you've lost? How do you go on when your world falls apart because you've lost your job or your business isn't working out? Or how do you go on when a spouse leaves and the plans you had forever until death do us part don't work out? How do you go on when your children grow up and don't know the Lord? You know, on and on and on. Just think about it. The whole world is living this way, aren't they? The problem is they're living this way without Jesus. All of these things that he's describing are in the world and in their people's lives, but they don't have Jesus. And what he's saying is all of these things are true, but before he said all of this, he said, but we have Jesus and he gives us the comfort that we need, but we're suffering. Why is he telling the Corinthians that they're suffering? Because they need to know. He's saying, look, all this suffering we're going through, it's not because of some false truth out there. It's because Jesus really is real. And he really is the Son of God. He really is the appropriate sacrifice. His blood really was shed on the cross, and it really was for your sin and mine. And he really did come out of that grave. And we really do have an opportunity to accept that truth. And it is worth suffering for. And if the Christian journey, with all its ups and all its blessings and all its praise the Lord moments, if we can't accept the suffering moments, then we're struggling, aren't we? That's the platform. When we're sitting in that chair and if we were able to spit out some words to describe our journey with Christ, it should sound something similar to what Paul is saying right here. Whatever your moments are, whatever your journey looks like, whatever the mountaintops and whatever the deepest valleys were, it's always, but I had comfort from God because of his faithfulness. I was never defeated in any of that because of God's faithfulness, his presence in my life. He always surrounded me with other believers right when I needed it. He said, look, we're going to have to circle the runway. He said we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves. He's like, we couldn't even trust our own thinking. Because we thought we were going to die. We thought that this was so bad, this is it. Whatever was going on, this is it. This is how we're going to leave the world. And I don't know about y'all, but I personally been in a few situations in my life where I was just like, okay, this is going to be the end of me. To the point where I'm sitting back talking to God. It's like, okay, if this is it, then how do I do this? You know? And Paul's saying, I have so much confidence in the gospel that I'm sharing with you to be true, that if I were to have left the world in that suffering, it would have been fine. It would have been good. I still win. Why? Because I'm not trusting in myself. I don't trust in myself in the times of suffering. I trust in God. So when we're sitting in that on that platform of life in this world, or that chair, and we're living out our testimony, which is not really how you do it. You don't have to sit in a chair and find words to say what the Lord's done for you and who you are in Christ and why you're such an amazing testimony to what God can do with a hot mess. Because that's what we all are, isn't it? Just the way you live your life every day and every moment is your platform. It's what Paul was doing in these particular verses. He's like, look, you don't have to believe me just because I say it's true. Look at what's going on. Look how I'm living. Look what's going on with us. And it's not because of us. We can't be trusted to solve these problems. Look, we're successful. We're still going because of God, the God who raised the dead, y'all. We're talking about the God who brought Jesus out of the grave is the one who's faithful to you and to me. Every day, in every situation. Here we are, 2025. See, October, November, December, and then most of January, almost 4 months when the wind blew our towns away and washed everything off. And we're still here. We're still going. And we're building our strength, aren't we? It's not like it was. It's still bad. It's still some suffering going on, and we still need help, but it's not as bad as it was. And I'm 100% confident that this whole time, God has been showing himself to all of us in the middle of it all. And it's the God who raised the dead. The one, look, verse 10, put it on verse 10. It says, he's the one who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. I'll give you a nugget of truth that set me free personally in my life. Once I understood that and accepted the fact that I will leave this world one day. I know y'all sitting back like, well, everybody knows everybody's going to die. But look, when we're young, we live like we ain't never going to die. We do things like we ain't never going to leave this world. Crazy stuff. And I'm not talking about teenage or younger. I'm talking about 25, sometimes even 30. We're still out there living like there's no tomorrow. And we can do whatever we want and nothing bad will happen. But the older you get, the more you start realizing, better get some life insurance. Better get things in order because this ain't a permanent situation, is it? And the more you start accepting that fact, the more I started accepting that, okay, then what? And praise the Lord, I got saved because that answers that question, doesn't it? And it changes everything. Then I can hike the mountains without complaining. Still suffering, but I won't complain as much. Still hard, but I shouldn't complain as much. Still dark, I can't see sometimes, but it shouldn't be woe is me. This is how some of these guys were in prison with their last breath singing hymns, praising God, you see. It's all about the platform, isn't it? What's the platform? Your life. It's the platform that God and his Holy Spirit uses with the Word of God to show the world who he is. You're the platform. And is it gonna honor God? Is it gonna lift up his name? Is it gonna preach the gospel? Because Paul's right here just saying, look, things are bad and we almost died. We're still almost dead. But we still believe. And as long as we're going, we're still gonna believe. And I can only imagine the Corinthians as they get this letter and they're reading it and they're saying, whoa, this Paul guy, it must be true. All these other people, they must not have it together because they're not understanding the situation. Right? When people see the believer, when they see me and you in the world, and they see us go through suffering, I'm not saying they shouldn't see us have a hard time. They shouldn't see us weak. I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying they shouldn't see us crying. I'm not saying they shouldn't see us confused. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they should see our faith overcome all of those things. They should see what we believe about Jesus being the number one thing that drives us. My wife and I, just like all the rest of you, we can sit down and tell you day after day a bunch of things. Like there was this time when we thought it was all over, but then the Lord did this. And, you go through a storm and you're not really thinking that clearly sometimes, but then when it's all over and the dust settles and the light comes back on and you're not in the dark so much, you start realizing, like, man, the Lord was there the whole time. I didn't even know how much He was there. You see? And as long as we're living in that truth, we're sitting on that chair. We're living our life and it's just our mind. The way we live our life, the way we talk about God, the way we see it, the way we come along someone else who's in the darkness or who's struggling, who's not down, who's got weakness going on in their life, you come up next to them and say, yeah, I've been here before. And God's faithful. He's here. You don't feel it. You don't see it. But trust it. And let them borrow some of your faith. That's what the church does. Right? So it's really part of it's a platform of suffering, isn't it? I mean, everybody's watching you. Everybody in your circle of people in your life is watching you. Whether they know they're watching you or not, they're watching you because they know you believe. And they're watching every little thing you do. They're watching how you live in the high points. They're watching how you suffer. They're watching how you deal with loss. They're watching how you deal with temptation. They're watching how you sip on a Diet Coke. Not because they're judging you, but they just know. They're like, oh, that's a Christian. And if they really want to know the Lord, when they see the real, genuine relationship going on in someone's life, they get drawn to that person. And they get close. Because they don't want to ever admit it. Talking from experience now. They don't ever want to admit it, but they really don't want to know what's going on, what you got. Because their suffering isn't as much as we are. They just don't have the resources we have. Paul's trying to tell the Corinthians, he's trying to encourage them. He's not so much trying to defend himself. He's trying to defend the gospel. He's trying to defend the truth, and people are trying to take it away from him. Even in our suffering, we are to be about the Lord's business. We're to be about showing the Lord that God is real, or showing the world that God is real. That's tough, isn't it? Good news is, in the beginning of chapter 1, he says it's through Christ. It's because of Christ. It's all Jesus that gives us all this comfort and strength. It's the strength of the Lord. It's the comfort of the Lord. No one's expecting you to jump up and down and celebrate because you're suffering. But I don't know how many times, and maybe I'm just as guilty as most, but how many times have we as believers sat around and had pity parties for way too long? As if God's not involved, or as if we deserve something better than anybody else in this world. Right? I love you, and the Lord loves you, and I just pray that we will live our lives well so that God will be glorified in all situations, and that our platform will be a platform that praises Him and lifts His name up so others know who He is. Let's stand together and we'll sing. If you don't know Jesus, you're not saved. If you're not saved, you're dead in your sins. If you're dead in your sins, you should be in despair. The easy fix is to accept Him as Lord and Savior, confess your sins, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.